Hello and welcome to an Inch podcast for January 9th, 2007, our first of the new year.
No,
right?
The second. We had one last week.
Oh, second of the new year.
our first of the second week of the new year.
Unless you're on a different calendar.
I can't even blame the Chinese New Year next month for that one. So far in the Inch podcast, Gladdy is minus one.
Good start.
But that's the great thing about hockey. We can come back and make a couple plays here and there, block a shot, maybe get that plus minus turned around.
Ted Ginn was plus one at about the same time last night, too.
You're right on that one.
How'd that work out?
Actually, he was plus six.
Yeah, he was.
Hello, Columbus. How's everyone?
Have no fear, Buckeye fans. We've got great things to say about your hockey team, and we might even start there. We usually start in the WCHA, but we're breaking tradition here in the second podcast.
And let's face it, folks, if you follow college hockey, we usually end in the WCHA, too. Pa-dum-pum-pump.
We need, like,
did you fall down the stairs?
WCHA entrance music.
We could get back into that wrestling discussion now.
Oh, no.
No.
We'll do a couple of those in the summer. WrestleMania is at Ford Field, by the way.
Nice. WrestleMania is in a couple weeks after the Frozen, usually.
Let's not even start.
Let's talk about the Buckeyes hockey team. Fittingly, I'm writing my podcast notes on the back of an Ohio State line chart that I was able to scoop up earlier this year when I got to see the Buckeyes at the Bank of America Rensselaer Holiday Classic immediately after Thanksgiving. And at the time, Ohio State didn't look like a very good team, but really started to play much better, and this past weekend got four big, big CCHA points to move them into third in the CCHA at this point in the season by winning twice against Alaska. Dominic Maiani, a junior, is the Inch National Player of the Week. And, Bus, your thoughts on the Buckeyes, and is it any coincidence or total coincidence that Fritchie's return to the lineup and Ohio State's turnaround have coincided?
Well, I think it's a little bit of a coincidence, but obviously, I mean, Tom Fritchie's a great player, and you know he missed the first half of the year with an intestinal problem, which was actually quite serious. He had lost a lot of weight, and it took him a while to get his strength back and obviously get back into playing shape. But you go back and you look at their roster this season compared to last season. They really only lost four or five key guys from last year's team, and they underachieved a little bit last year. But there's a lot of talented players on that team, starting with Fritchie, and Maiani is a good player, and Matthew Beaudoin, who changes the pronunciation of his name every year, I think, is another good goal scorer, and Sean Collins is a solid defenseman. So they've got, a handful of, got about five or six. We should mention Tommy Goebel, too, who was a really good player freshman year at Michigan State, and he transferred, and now in his first season at Ohio State. So they've got about a half dozen, six to eight guys that can really put points on the board and that are really, really good players. The biggest loss from last season to this year was Dave Caruso, the goalie, and they had a heralded recruit coming in and Joe Palmer from the development team in Ann Arbor, and he still has his struggles, but looks to be evening out a bit. And I tell you what, they've got some. They've got this weekend off, and then they play a home-and-home with Miami, and they're right in the thick of things right now.
Yeah, and they had just beaten Miami at the Ohio Holiday Classic.
Yes, they did.
During Christmas week, so they have that momentum and confidence against that in-state rival. Another big, big thing for the CCHA was the reappearance on the ice for Andrew Cogliano and Jack Johnson at the University of Michigan. They both played in tonight's game, a 5-0 win over Bowling Green, as this is recorded. And those guys are difference makers. I mean, when you add them to your lineup, you know, Michigan didn't have them for the GLI, but when they can come in and make a huge, huge difference, as we discussed in last week's podcast, you know, Johnson was rumored primarily by Pierre Maguire of TSN to be leaving the University of Michigan and signing a professional contract, but it looks like he'll be there to stay, at least through the rest of the college season. That's not to say, and Mike, you know more about this, but he could sign after this college season, a la Matt Carl from last year. But where do you think the Wolverines stand right now?
Well, I think just getting those
same thing we've been saying.
Well, not necessarily. I don't know. I think getting those guys back and getting some, you know, Bowling Green obviously is not the best team in the CCHA, but they have been playing better as of late. They and they've got some kids on that team, you know, Matsumoto and guys like that who are talented players. But I think the important thing for Michigan right now is this week just getting back. They've got three games at home. Obviously, they won the game tonight against BG, and then they've got Northern Michigan coming in for two games this weekend, a team that I think is underperformed horribly given the talent that they've got. So, you know, I think if Michigan come in and continue to build confidence over this weekend, you know, they'll be in decent shape. They've got enough talent, obviously, that they can leapfrog some teams and string together a bunch of wins. And, you know, the one nice thing about these guys coming back from the World Juniors and getting back into the flow is that, you know, both Johnson and Cogliano played pretty well over there. And, you know, they come back with a little bit of confidence. Whether I think that, you know, those guys, meaning the guys in general that come back from the World Juniors and come back to the college game, I think they hope that they can carry that confidence over. In some cases, it certainly happens. We've seen that in the past.
Very quickly on Northern Michigan, because I'm going to segue to you, Jess, about the WCHA after this. You mentioned
I'll be ready.
Okay. There is 1 minute remaining in the CCHA period. 1 minute. But you said Northern Michigan has underperformed. Do you think they can turn it around and be that team that nobody wants to play in the first early rounds of the CCHA playoffs?
Yeah,
or do you think they just don't have it?
You know, I hate to put it, I hate to label them one way or the other because they've got the kind of team that certainly can be dangerous. You know, you look at a guy like Mike Santarelli, obviously a talented goal scorer and, you know, one of the CCHA's top scorers, and they've got guys maybe not quite at that level, but guys who can play at that level, you know, up and down the lineup, and for some reason they just haven't been able to put it together. And you know, I don't see them threatening to finish in the top four. Obviously, they're pretty far down at this point in time. But, you know, they can be one of those teams that can, you know, they can come out and score seven goals on you, and it's not a shock. Or they can play a 2-1 game, and their goalie, Bill Zanaboni, can steal one. You know, I think they're dangerous because they're so inconsistent. You know, whether that danger is for the Wildcats themselves or the opponent, you know, nobody really knows.
All right. And Jess, second period has begun. It's WCHA time. Who's the team right now, and I'm going to suggest that your answer is Wisconsin, that maybe won't get into the top five spots in the WCHA standings, but a team that people want to avoid in the first round of the playoffs?
You know, honestly, if I were to pick that team, the team that probably won't make the top five, but you'd want to avoid, I mean, look at the standings right now. Wisconsin is fifth, and they've played two fewer WCHA games than the five teams below them. So I actually think Wisconsin might be able to sneak into that top five, which would be good news for the league because they rely so heavily on that first round of the playoffs ticket revenue, and they want games at the Kohl Center, there's no question. So moving down one notch in the standings, I would have to give that honor to North Dakota right now. They they're looking like the team that nobody would want to play just based on the talent they have. I don't think you want North Dakota coming into your building in the first round of the playoffs. Okay, Sioux fans, save your emails. That's not to say, you know, your team is eliminated from making the top half of the league, because they do have a ton of talent and there's a lot of hockey left to play. But that would be, you know, if the playoffs started today, I would not want to host North Dakota.
Yeah, I meant to put that clause in there that these teams could certainly move out of that bottom half, but leaning toward Wisconsin, because I just think that shutout win they had at Denver was something that, like the Ohio State wins, you know, over Alaska, that really could turn things in their favor. And I certainly wouldn't be surprised if they got 2 points at least this weekend against Minnesota. I think
absolutely.
The Gophers are due to maybe lose one here, and I know Wisconsin would like to make a statement and really take off in the second half by the win at Denver and potentially a win this weekend over their hated rivals, the Minnesota Golden Gophers.
You know, I looked at that Denver score, the 4-0, you know, Brian Elliott with a shutout, and I thought, wow, there's a flashback to a year ago. I mean, that was definitely a statement game for Wisconsin, kind of a, hey, remember us? Remember this guy we got between the pipes? And by the way, did you notice these national championship rings we're wearing? You know, for a team that had essentially been forgotten about in terms of the league race after that horrendous November they had, you know, all of a sudden, if you're a Badger fan, you're feeling a little wind in the sails, and you've got Minnesota coming into your building, and you know it's a maybe a tired Minnesota team. I'll have to see how much rest those five guys get this week that were over at the World Junior, but yeah, it's things are looking a little brighter in Madison, and we'll I like you, I'm very interested to see what happens this weekend at the Kohl Center.
If those Wisconsin guys showed the Denver players a championship ring, some of those Denver guys could give him a peace sign. show him too.
They couldn't hear him because they had national championship rings in their ears.
Yeah. Glenn Fisher said, oh, you got just the one? Yeah, that's cute.
Did you lose one?
Did you give your other one to your girlfriend? Or mom? I don't know. One or the other.
Yeah.
Something like
one
that. But you look at the WCHA standings right now, and I mean, you got to think that one of those two teams is going to end up on the road in the first round, Wisconsin or North Dakota. You know, they're not going to catch Minnesota's not going. I mean, they're not going anywhere. They're going to be at home, obviously.
I think your Gophers, my Huskies,
your Huskies,
your Pioneers are safe.
Yeah, I would agree.
In your top five, CC, we'll see. I think they have the most question marks of the top four right now.
I find it, you know, you look at this weekend and all the hype is going to be Minnesota, Wisconsin, but it intrigues me to look at Alaska Anchorage going to North Dakota. I mean, here are two teams with almost identical records in the league and almost identical records overall. North Dakota is 10-11-1. Alaska Anchorage is 10-10-2. Okay, but you ask the respective fan bases, are you having a good year or a bad year? I mean, Alaska Anchorage, by their standards, you know, picked to finish last in the league, is having a great year. I mean, you know, everybody's excited, and, you know, Seawolf hockey is a big thing again, and Shiak's getting talked about for Coach of the Year. North Dakota with an almost identical record. You know, people there look at this as just a disastrous year so far. So interesting perspective on what the expectations are for two different teams that are, find themselves in about the same place at this point in the year.
Let's wrap up our WCHA segment, if we have one, with discussion of the Minnesota State Mavericks. Jess, you broke a story yesterday about an investigation that the WCHA is conducting regarding an incident in the hallway connecting the visiting dressing room and the officials' room at Mariucci Arena between a couple of the Minnesota State coaches and official or game referee John Campion. Things don't seem very settled right now for the Mankato Mavericks.
This, you know, in the wake of this, for the first time now, I'm in earnest starting to get some email from fans questioning, you know, is Troy Dunning on shaky ground? You know, a couple things would lead people to believe that. Number one, just their overall record. They're 6-14-3 right now. It's a team that has played very hard and has not gotten rewarded in some cases. You know, it's got some talent, but they've just not been able to put things together. The second thing that lead people to speculate on that is the fact that Troy Judding is in the last year of a contract and has not been offered a renewal, which is, you know, a tough position for any coach to be in when you don't know what your status is going to be next year. We have yet to see what the results of this WCHA investigation will be into the incident at Mariucci Arena, but I can't think that would help in any way, no matter what the results are, Troy Judding's status. So we'll have to wait and see. You know, they could make a second-half rally and everything could be fine. He could get a nice contract extension, but there are some questions being raised now just in the last few days.
You know, but how much Oh, I just wanted to follow.
Hold on. There is 1 minute remaining in the WCHA period.
All right, thanks. How much of that, you know, obviously the officiating maybe had something to do with, you know, the confrontation after the game, but how much of that is just frustration from, you know, a coaching staff of a team that hasn't played all that badly, but just, you know, like you said, hasn't had the results to back that up?
The Mavericks in three of their four games with Minnesota this year, I would say, outplayed Minnesota by a substantial margin, and they got 1 point to show for it. They managed a tie at Mariucci Arena earlier in the season. You know, the other night at Mariucci, they outshot them, you know, by a pretty significant margin. The Mavericks outshot the Gophers by a pretty significant margin and wind up losing 1-0. My final comment on this is, you know, you hear fans in this league grumble all the time about the officials and about how they seem to always even up the penalties somehow. You know, it always comes out with teams having roughly the same number of power plays in a game. Well, here was a case where Minnesota had 7 power plays. Minnesota State had 2, and the coaches go crazy. So you obviously just cannot win if you're a referee. If you even it up, you get criticized. And if you don't even it up, you get threatened with violence, or at least allegedly that was what happened.
Yeah, allegedly.
Allegedly. And nothing's been handed down or, you know, proven or anything like that. But from what we hear, it was an ugly scene.
All right. We've talked about good wins for Wisconsin and Ohio State, teams that had kind of struggled through the first half a little bit and maybe gaining some momentum. And there will be more on this in my notebook this week, but I had a conversation with Harvard coach Ted Donato. They're in a similar situation as the Buckeyes and Badgers, that the things really weren't going their way, but they're showing signs of breaking out of that. They've won 4 out of their last 5 games, and as the quirky ECAC Hockey League is, and the Ivy Leagues in particular, just as they go on this 4 out of 5 game stretch, now they've got 3 weeks off for exam break. So Harvard will have to sustain the momentum through exam period, and they come back with a very difficult schedule. But the Crimson are finally putting it together, and even in that loss they had, which was at versus Michigan State in the first round of the GLI, they played great that night. That was one of their better performances of this 5-game stretch. Probably the only one that was better was a very comprehensive and thorough effort in a blowout victory over Rensselaer last Friday. But the Crimson have changed some little things, and you kind of had that sense, and I think there's probably, as I said, a lot of teams like this around the country that they were close, but they just had to get a little thing here, a little thing here, get those things fixed, and the Crimson did that. Some of it was systems-wise, some of it was line changes and defensive pairing changes and just some systems things. So the Crimson may be ready to make a second half charge, but they've played a lot of games so far in the league and dug themselves quite a hole. They don't have a lot of chance to screw up anymore. They're really behind it. And while they have these weeks off for exam breaks, teams will be making up their games in hand. And 4 of the big games in that involve Colgate, Cornell, St. Lawrence, and Clarkson this weekend, as those teams will do the travel partner tango up in the North Country. So I think that's a big weekend to see which teams are really going to step forward in the ECAC Hockey League and finish in one of those top 4 spots.
You know, one thing that I wanted to ask about Harvard is, there's no coincidence that they've started to play a lot better and they've settled on a goalie and Kyle Richter.
Yeah, Richter has been a choice in net for the last couple of games, and he played pretty well Saturday night against Union. And ironically enough, that was a game where Harvard trailed for most of it, but got two third-period goals to turn that from a 2-1 deficit into a 3-2 victory. And that's another thing that Harvard and Donato said, that they're finding ways to win those games instead of taking a penalty at the wrong time or making a mistake at the wrong time and ended up costing them entire games, wins and losses. That was kind of the opposite case on Saturday night against Union. And another fantastic story out of that game. Nate Lehman was the is the head coach of the Union College Dutchman and was an assistant coach on the United States World Junior team. He got off the plane returning from Sweden and went to the rink. He was wearing a suit, and he looked absolutely exhausted just on the television photos. I haven't talked to Nate yet. But one could assume that he came right from the plane to Mesa Rink because his USA Hockey pin was still on the lapel of his suit. And it says something about his commitment and dedication. And he really, in conversations with him, he does love it there. He knows that's a challenge, and he's taken that on, and he wants to do great things at Union. He doesn't see that as a stepping stone, you know, to the next great job in college hockey. That's not to say he won't ever be a candidate for those or think about doing that, but right now his heart is with Union, and I think he proved that by his quick turnaround and getting to that. One note on this weekend series of the North Country, Nick Dodge, the I think it's fair to call him a Hobey Baker candidate, certainly an All-American candidate, and Clarkson's captain and leading scorer will miss Friday's game against Colgate after he got a DQ penalty in an exhibition game against McGill, a Canadian university.
Yeah, now you explained this to me once, and I'm not sure I got it. He got it for high-sticking a guy, is that correct?
That is correct.
And the Canadian teams obviously don't have to wear the full, they only have to wear half shields, if I'm
correct.
Not mistaken. And he got the guy in the face, and he got a 5 and a 10 and a DQ. Is that right?
That is correct. Yeah. I did not see the play, but what I read was that the player on the Canadian team, I guess the high-sticking contact drew blood, and the player was not wearing a full shield. So that if he was wearing a full shield, it's probably a 2-minute minor. But since it drew blood, the extent of the injury or the nature of the injury is what merited the DQ, not the nature of the action. But again, that is not a first-person report. I haven't heard that for sure.
That's a new
story. But I am hoping to get to Clarkson on Saturday for the game against Cornell, which should be a doozy. They've played some great, great playoff series the last couple of years. And I think this is the first time in the last 3 or 4 years that Clarkson probably goes into this game as the clear favorite and as the team to beat. You know, they were the team that was trying to knock off Cornell in the past. I think those roles have changed a little bit. And especially with Quinnipiac's recent losses, it was a non-league loss last week, but they did lose at home to RIT, and earlier tonight lost to Princeton at home. So they've lost 2 out of 3, and I thought they were probably in a good spot to challenge for one of those top 4 positions, but that is not the case right now.
Wide open again.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, I cover the ECAC Hockey League all year, but I think I only have to cover it the last Saturday of the season. Because that's when everything gets decided.
Well, you look at the standings right now, one team's played 14 games and the other one's played 6.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Something like
so
that.
So that's why I think this Colgate-Clarkson St. Lawrence Cornell thing is a big deal this weekend, especially with Quinnipiac kind of slipping. They played, by the way, the Bobcats play their last game at the Northford Ice Pavilion this Friday against Brown. Their next home game is January 28th. It's a Sunday afternoon game, a noon face-off against Holy Cross, and that will be the first game in the TD Bank North Garden, or Sports Arena.
Is that the TD Bank North?
TD Bank North is the sponsor. I don't know the name of the rink.
Oh.
But I'm going to call it TD Bank North Rink. For those of you who read the hockey lingo napkin of
yes.
mid-December.
Yes.
You will
everything
understand
is a ring.
That is proper lingo.
Holly Pavilion is a rink.
The Rosemont Auditorium rink.
Yeah, what is that?
Home place? Of the Chicago Wolves.
Yeah. And I suppose since Jeff Howe is not here, you know, I was just thinking about this. He was on earlier in the year when Massachusetts was about 6-1, and he said that they should be a top 10 team. And, you know, since Massachusetts is kind of... Yeah, since the wheels have fallen off that team, he hasn't been available for the last few podcasts. Why is that?
Let's ask Jess Myers. Jess, any reason why Rook wouldn't be on the podcast anymore because his alma mater kind of struggled?
I have no experience with an alma mater starting out strong and then having the wheels fall off. I have no idea what that would be like. So,
remember when he used to do the power rankings with us? That was awesome.
Thanks, guys. Good to be.
Yeah, but to be fair, in Jess's case, the wheels didn't fall off. The whole engine just dropped out of the car.
Exactly. It was more like the wings fell off.
Yeah, that was. That has to be that's one of the more, and if you haven't figured it out, we're talking about Minnesota Duluth from what was that 2 years ago? Was that 2 years ago?
Yeah, 2 years ago. They started out the season 5-0-1, ranked number one in the country. Everybody's favorites, all Americans, 12 seniors, and oh boy, by the end of the year they were glad to have that one over.
It seems like it
Kobe's
was
Kobe's frozen.
Seems like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
how long does it seem like?
It does seem like a long, long time ago. Man. Remember that when we went to Boston? Remember that?
Yeah, like 75.
Barely.
Exactly. Hey, when does the College Hockey America portion of the show start? Because there's a few noteworthy items there we've got to cover.
There's a lot of noteworthy items. Robert Morris, Bob Moe.
Yeah, your buddy Bob Moe from Pittsburgh, yeah.
Yeah, beats
Bob
Notre
from
Dame.
Pittsburgh, big win. Niagara and Bemidji State both, doesn't matter who they play.
It just
And I said this about that top line for Niagara with Cook and Bentivoglio and...
Reed.
Oh, nice. I know College Hockey. Man.
The and they go to Denver this weekend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. As we wrote in the intro to the Inch podcast, who would have figured at the beginning of the year that the Notre Dame Lake Superior series and the Denver Niagara series would be matchups of two top 15 teams, and the Wisconsin Minnesota series would not be.
Oh, I pegged it.
Wow.
You were all over that.
I got to tip the cap, by the way, Boss, and I told Gladys this earlier today, but the global warming idea that the weather's nicer in Buffalo than it is in Denver.
Oh,
I gotta love
that. You should see the beach. You should see the shoreline on Lake Ontario or whatever it is, Erie.
Lake Erie.
Both of them.
Yeah,
they're right there.
Kids are whiteboarding on the wakeboarding on the white caps of Lake Erie.
I saw
as long as they stay out of the Niagara River, they're all set, because that doesn't end pretty.
It's
actually very pretty to look at, but it doesn't end pretty if you're traveling it.
If Al Gore would just keep his mouth shut, we'd still have winter. But.
Exactly. And in Denver, they've got, what, 50 inches? Yeah, actually, I guess this would maybe be of interest to our listeners, since most of them live in snowbound locales. In normal years, but I read that Denver has spent $10 million on snow plowing already this winter.
Wow.
$10 million.
You know, we're always sending firefighters there in the summer. I suppose we could send snow plows there in the winter. Yeah, that seems to make sense.
That's a lot of money for just moving frozen water.
Yeah, absolutely.
We didn't talk about Hockey East.
Bemidji State. Let's get back. Back to the college hockey America portion of.
Oh well, I'm sorry. This is a long.
Robert Morris. First of all, you know anybody can win an upset, but to be down 2-0 in Notre Dame's building, come back with 4 unanswered goals, and Joe Chissette, their goalie, you know, facing 36 shots in front of a hostile crowd, and managing to get that win. That was impressive.
in his seventh career start, and he's a senior.
Wow. Hey, you know what? He's got a story.
He does.
He probably doesn't have, you know, this probably, let's be honest, the end of his hockey playing career. Probably get a degree from Robert Morris and pursue, you know, a professional life. 90% of our athletes are going pro in something other than sports.
Oh, no.
Joe, you
mentioned Bemidji State, too. It's time to start looking at this team pretty seriously. I mean, since starting 0-3-1, they're something like 12-0-2 or something. They're on
it. Oh, I've got it right here. They're 10-1-2 in their last 13.
Wow.
And 12-2-3 in their last 17.
And, you know, around this part of the country, there's some kind of quiet grumbling that Bemidji State folks would like to have a sit-down with the WCHA, you know, with their conference having an uncertain future. They would really like to be members of the WCHA at some point. I think there's not really a big secret about that. Well, the best case they're making is look at the record versus WCHA teams this year. 5-1-0 so far, and they go to a very vulnerable Southern Michigan Tech team this weekend. Yeah. You know, the Beavers are making a pretty strong case that they might belong at a little stepped up level of competition. Now, with that said, the WCHA has placed a pretty strong moratorium on expansion right now, and anyone you talk to in the league office says, you know, we're not looking to change the size of our conference right now. But that's probably an issue that's not going to go away if the Beavers keep playing the way they are.
Yeah.
I'd say let them play.
Let them play.
Let them play.
Why would the WCHA want Bemidji State in? They're losing a lot of points in the standings.
Yeah, there you go. Just a non-conference loss.
Minnesota State lost twice. Minnesota Duluth lost twice. Colorado College split in Colorado Springs.
And this week?
Although Tiger fans
have got Michigan Tech on the road this week and a home-and-home in North Dakota on January 19th and 20th.
Colorado College fans will point out that 3-2 loss was the night that they had like five guys out because they had been DQ'd in the previous game versus the last game Anchorage. So they want an asterisk put next to that one.
Which game, Jess? The Colorado College?
Yeah, the first
Colorado College. False.
Michigan Anchorage
3-2 win.
Had that scrape, and a bunch of guys were suspended.
The 3-2 game was a win.
Right.
Yeah, I'm an idiot.
I'm saying.
I'm an idiot.
I'm saying. Okay.
Oh,
good.
There you go.
Established
breaking that. News. You can break that story too, Jess.
One
of you is an idiot.
Get that on a Minneapolis TV station.
Oh. Here's how it starts. Okay. I get it now.
That'll probably be.
We've got to have a Hockey East segment before we can have the podcast deterioration, guys.
That'll probably be on the Minneapolis News in 2011.
One last note on College Hockey America. I want to give a little tip of the cap to Doug Ross, who announced he's going to retire at the end of the season. A guy who has done a great job, kind of trying to be the ambassador for college hockey in the South, running Alabama Huntsville and running it well. They were a Division II power in the 90s and have been respectable as a Division I team and done a great job. And I certainly hope that doesn't mean bad things for the future of the Alabama Huntsville program without Ross running the show.
Cheers, Doug Ross. Exactly.
Eden.
Well done, Jess. Well played.
And we should mention...
And that is the end of the College Hockey America portion of the podcast.
What are we going to do about Atlantic Hockey?
We're going to say way to go RIT and way to go Sacred Heart.
Yeah, there
RIT
you go.
Won at Quinnipiac. Sacred Heart won at Cornell. Those are the top two teams in Atlantic Hockey, and they play two games
this weekend
at Sacred Heart this weekend.
Well, there you go.
And Sacred Heart makes an appearance in the Inch Power Rankings this week at the number 19 spot with an impressive 12-2-2 mark.
Two pioneers. Are they 12-2-2 or 12, well, just something like that. 12-4-4. How does that sound?
Much more accurate. 13-4-4.
Oh, they won tonight. There you go.
Won tonight.
Beat the Fighting Yellow Jackets.
AIC? Legal?
There are more pioneers in the top 20 than there are Badgers. Just write that down. Let me just write that down here.
How many potential Badgers could there be in the top 20?
I'm just one. Just saying.
Brock University in Ontario.
There are more Pioneers than Huskies.
Yes, there are.
As Northeastern, UConn, and Michigan Tech did not make the Interpower rankings this week. But my Huskies did.
How about your Huskies, by the way?
Hey, they're not nice.
School record, 12 wins in a row. Sorry.
We're on a roll.
Oh.
Their goalie used to be Hockey East. Can I make that?
Segway.
Thin logic.
Segway. Dear Hockey East, remember when Bobby Geffert was in your league? That was awesome. Well, see, I found some interesting notes on Maine freshman Teddy Purcell.
Well, I don't want to blow it for Jeff Howe's notebook this week, provided he does lead with it.
Maybe time for the editorial staff to step in.
Yeah, this kid, you know, we mentioned him a little bit last week about how he's been playing really well, and then I finally took a look at his numbers on a game. I almost choked on my tongue right there.
They're very impressive numbers.
They are very impressive. They're not choke on your tongue impressive, but hey, for a freshman, they're pretty good. He's got 28 points. He's passed Michel Levier as the team's leading point getter up to this date in the season. He's got points in all but two of Maine's games this season. He has he's in the midst of a 9-game point streak, and over the last 4 games, he's got 7 goals and 3 assists. So not a bad showing for a freshman. And you know, we come on here on a week in and week out basis, and we talk about Okposo and guys like that. But I think at this point in time, I might have to throw my if we were voting for the freshman of the year right now, I might have to throw my support behind Teddy Purcell.
Certainly worthy of that type of distinction. Here's something else. People think that Minnesota has totally run away with the WCHA, and they are well ahead, but New Hampshire has a 10-point lead over Maine right now in the Hockey East standings. Actually, Maine, Boston College, and Boston University all have 15 points. They played fewer conference games than New Hampshire. But New Hampshire's 25 points through 14 games, 12-1-1 in Hockey East.
That's efficient. And they put and for those of you, DirecTV/Dish Network/, I guess if you...
I saw it.
If you live in Nesson Land, you get it.
Which I don't, but...
But they embarrassed Vermont on Friday. Yeah, it was never close. It was never
smoked
close.
Them.
I think Vermont had 11 shots on goal. And Vermont's a pretty darn good team. And, Maine and, I think Maine BU is the big series in Hockey East this weekend.
Yeah, definitely.
That'll be a big one up in up at Elfond. And we should mention BC. I have no idea what's going on with this team. I mean, for as much talent as they have, they blow a 2-0 lead against Northeastern and lose 3-2 in overtime. And it sounds like they've got a little bit of turmoil going on there as well. So,
well, if it's a leadership issue.
Yeah.
They've started to address that.
Yeah, they fixed that.
Brian Boyle is no longer the captain of the Eagles. And Jeff Howe will definitely be reporting on that in the Hockey Snowbook.
Is that breaking news?
We broke it. Well,
wow.
It was news. I mean, it wasn't exclusive. If you're looking
broken. We've broken a lot of things, but it's been mostly in hotel rooms.
People are going to think we tour with Fog Hat or something.
Oh, that would be sweet.
If we play our cards right.
Well, there you go.
You're telling me there's a chance.
There's
in that New Hampshire 7-1 blowout of Vermont, the Vermont starting goalie was pulled, and then the backup was pulled, and the starting goalie was put back in.
Yeah, that's a tough night.
I always love seeing that.
And then
we got nothing.
Regan played Regan.
I am out of answers.
That's when you just, that's when you're out of bullets and just throw the gun at the other guy.
That's when it becomes like a pee-wee game. It's like, anybody want to try playing goalie?
It's when the, that's when the utility infielder comes in to pitch the ninth. Hey, look, it's Jeff Rebule out there pitching.
Wow. Can we talk about the Baseball Hall of Fame voting very quickly?
No. Dale Murphy did not.
You're right. We can't talk about it very quickly.
Was Mr. Pudgy involved? Then no.
No, he was not. I wish he would have interfered.
Dale Murphy
and
didn't
specifically, I wish he
this.
Would have interfered with Jeff Schultz and who's the other clown? Some clown. Two Atlanta Journal-Constitution columnists have Hall of Fame votes and did not vote for Dale Murphy.
That's really?
Wow. Brutal.
Well, they didn't want to be accused of homerism.
Right.
Or something. I don't know. Whatever.
Baseball writers, homerism. Right.
Hey, speaking of Atlanta, anything on that Kennesaw State? They still going D1? No? remember what a fun story that was for about a week?
That was fun.
Yeah.
I think Kennesaw State just wanted the exposure by alleging that they were going. Then now everyone knows who Kennesaw State is, and they didn't have to spend any money on it.
Yeah. There we go. Actually, you know what? I brought it with me or printed out the article, and I forgot to, but there was a small blurb in the USA Today sports page. This morning, the NCAA is having its meeting in all the presidents are down in Orlando.
That is correct.
And there was just a brief, it was, you know, real short, literally a paragraph or two paragraphs that mentioned that the NCAA is going to take a look at allowing Canadian schools to join the NCAA. Obviously, they haven't approved anything, but they're just going to explore it a little further, it sounds like. And, you know, obviously one of the schools that was mentioned in the article was University of British Columbia, which would be a terrible road trip for hockey teams in Vancouver. And the other one was a school in Windsor, and I can't remember the name. I think it was maybe St. Clair College?
Yes.
Off the top of my head is what I'm thinking. And I guess Windsor would be a terrible road trip for hockey teams, too. Be a terrible one for the... terrible for curfew.
GRI,
yeah.
CCHA.
You know, when you talk about the future of some conferences and, you know, whether there's going to be programs out there to sustain conferences, you know, hopefully this is... I don't know. I guess it would be one way to sustain the growth of college hockey. That's for sure. But obviously, it's a long way down the road. But I say welcome. I say let them in. Why not?
Well, let's make that discussion of next week's podcast.
When Colorado College and Simon Fraser get together, you can throw out the record books.
There you go.
Maybe that's the stepping stone to our much-desired Frozen Four in Toronto.
Calgary would
2013. Put it on the board.
Calgary would be a good spot for a Frozen Four. Drive the red.
Canada would be a good spot for a Frozen Four.
Vancouver.
Brandon, Manitoba. Here we go.
Not Winnipeg.
Belleville, Ontario would be a good spot for a Frozen
Belleville.
Four. I mean, let's be honest.
Kamloops.
Kitchener.
Whistler.
Red Deer. Regina.
Excuse me? What did you say? Saskatoon? Oh.
It's the capital of Saskatchewan, and it's not Saskatoon.
Oh.
I think we're going to make it through with minimal podcast deterioration.
Yes, we are.
Congratulations, gentlemen. And we're sorry, podcast listeners, for letting you down. I know this is your favorite part of the show.
That's a kind of disappointment.
Yes.
But... not only are our listeners disappointed, but our panelists are disappointed.
I'm weeping.
So now we all ended minus one.
That's all right.
Okay. Well, thank you for listening to the Instant Podcast. Follow our full conference notebooks, which return this week, and our Hobie Tracker. And thanks for following College Hockey at InsideCollegeHockey.com.